welcome to episode 45 of the Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, UFO sightings, industry news, gossip, and other nonsense. We want to thank everyone who's listening live in the Ustream, and thank you everyone who listens later. You should stop by the Ustream sometime. It's a lot of fun. You get to hear all our technical difficulties as we try this for the first time every week. Around the horn tonight, we have Gonzo Rider.
Yeah, what's happening, folks?
OC Entertainment.
I love you all.
Tawny.
Hello.
And Vito.
Sipping on pumpkin ale, what's up?
Sipping on pumpkin ale. I wish I had some of that. I'm sipping on Miller Lite, and I wish I had pumpkin ale.
Well, see, you should have said something sooner. I would have brought you one.
You would not have brought me one.
Where are you right now?
At my house.
Dude, I would drive down there to give you some of this pumpkin. This shit is...
Yeah, but you're sick, and I don't want to hang out with you because you're going to get me sick and blah, 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 blah. All right. Let's get this show on the road, huh? Took us long enough to get started. Let's talk about Windows 8.
Again.
Reading an article on Engadget. Windows 8 on a laptop, the in-depth preview. Apparently, since Steve Ballmer put the or reported that the Windows developer preview was live on the site, on Microsoft's site, there was a whopping...
Download it right now.
There was 500,000 downloads in 24 hours. It's pretty impressive.
Did you guys download it?
No, I'm on a Mac.
That don't mean anything.
That means nothing. I have friends that have installed it on Macs. You just have a version of Windows software.
Why would I want to ruin a perfectly good computer?
I downloaded it, I just haven't installed it yet. I kind of don't want to mess up my Windows 7 setup.
It's not that I'm afraid, I'm just lazy.
Hmm.
I mean, I've seen it, I've looked at the previews, I've read all the reviews. It seemed to be glowing in pretty much every aspect. I just don't want to do it.
I fear change, and I really don't like the look of the Metro UI.
The thing is, I actually do kind of like the Metro look, and I'm excited to see what it does, but it looks like it's not even remotely capable of doing the work I actually do on a computer on a day-to-day basis, or like it would just get in my way, so I don't want to do it because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to use it.
That seems to be the problems with a lot of these forward-thinking OSs, especially with like the iPad and iOS and then Android and their tablet OSs, and now with this, the concern that I've had and a lot of other people who use their computers with more professional applications, they always wonder, like, how am I going to be able to do that on these new devices? Like, the stuff that I do on my computer, I could never do on an iPad or any kind of tablet. And looking at this, this looks like the same thing, except it's going to be on my desktop. So it makes me wonder, you know, how is this going to work for us?
But you can play Xbox Live.
The one thing that does look okay is...
I have an Xbox Live for that.
The one thing I think that is the saving grace of this, and I haven't looked into how this functions, but it does have the regular windowed UI underneath it somewhere. I just don't know if you can set to use that as the default and just ignore Metro entirely, or maybe something's already addressed that. But
I'm guessing that what they're doing with the initial preview is really trying to push the Metro UI, because if they put it out there and made it obvious how as to how you switch to the regular Windows user interface, a lot of people would just switch over to that and not even bother with the Metro, and then they wouldn't get any of it tested. You know what I mean? Nobody would get any kind of a feel for it at all because of the reason that we're talking about here. Everybody's like, I don't really like the way it looks. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. So if they just put it up there and that's the only thing you can use, if you want to try it, then you got to try Metro.
Right.
I mean, I like the Metro UI. It looks really nice, but it looks really nice like it should be on a mobile device.
Well, that's exactly it. It looks like the Windows mobile. Tablet,
I'm kind of hoping that someone in XEA or at RootsWiki or something like puts together a ROM of this that can be installed on one of the Android tablets or something.
Oh, somebody actually figures out how to put that on my Iconium. I'm all over that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, though, is bound to hack it, though, so that you can get rid of Metro, just like they did with Arrow. It'll happen. Oh, yeah.
That is what is crazy, though, is I've never in my life heard of someone saying they have to hack Windows to make something work.
That you don't. Windows will basically let you do whatever you want. The options are all there.
Exactly.
Like I said, they're probably just forcing the Metro UI to make sure people use it during the developer preview.
Yeah. I actually kind of want to get, I mean, it's $300 to get something like this, so I wouldn't do it, but I want to get a multi-touch monitor to use on my desktop to see if that would be good, see if any of the touchscreen interface would work on a desktop environment, because I think it actually kind of, I think it could be nifty in some areas. I just don't want it all the time.
Yeah, I think it would be cool. I haven't looked too deeply into it, I'll be honest, but you know, if everything looked like that and then the applications I used looked like, you know, applications that have always looked like, then I don't think it would be much of a problem. Like, if that's just how you navigated to get to what you were trying to do, I don't think that would be a bad thing.
I think I need to just slap together a PC from all the spare parts I've got around here and try it out, because I don't know, we are getting to a point where devices are merging together. You know, you've got desktops becoming laptops, becoming tablets, and it does make sense to have one OS that can handle touchscreen and mouse and keyboard and everything else. So if Microsoft is smart about that, and Windows 7 really can easily transition between all these different inputs, that would be really fantastic, and I think something that hasn't been done before. Just from what I've seen, I'm not sure if that's what they're doing.
I'm just waiting to compare Windows 8 with Chrome when they get their OS out fully functioning. That'll be neat.
I'm still waiting on that. I have very little hope for Chrome OS because it seems like they go 10, 12 months between announcements or releases, and then when something comes out, it's like, oh, that's a minor improvement over what you had last time.
Yeah, well, that's like a lot of things that Google does.
Which is disappointing, because if you look at the stuff they did with Android for a while, like a year and a half, every 6 months, it was like, we've got 10 billion new features.
Yeah, I think Android's one of the only things they have really put a lot of effort into, but like, I have a Logitech Review at home with the Google TV on it. They haven't done anything with it, and I know they've said, like, oh, we're going to put Honeycomb on it or whatever, but it's basically been the same since I got it. Not that that's a problem, it works fine, but they haven't changed it.
I'm thinking that the reason behind that is because a lot of stuff at Google is just like a little side project sort of thing that they do.
Yeah.
Kind of like throw a bunch of shit at the wall and eventually something will stick kind of deal. But Android is its own separate little department. So there are people that are dedicated solely to the Android platform, which is why they have so much coming out and so many new iterations and updates and additions to the software, as opposed to something like Wave when it was around, or Gmail. That's one of the things that they do, but they don't have dedicated portions of their company saying, you know, this is all you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think Google Plus will go down that route of just kind of being a side project?
No, Google Plus does have people that are dedicated solely to Google Plus. Like
for now.
Right, for now. But they're still working on it. They're still building. There's still a lot of new stuff that comes into Google Plus. And they don't just kind of sneak it in there in the middle of the day and then take it away, Facebook.
Well, speaking of Facebook and Google Plus, if you have a Facebook, you've probably noticed that a lot of features just popped up that are exactly like Google Plus.
A lot of them.
We have a nice little article on thenoisecast.com if you want to check it out.
One thing I wanted to include in there, they could take it down. Tell me if anyone else saw this, but for a while on Facebook.com, like the bar at the top, instead of being two different colors of blue, it became a solid dark blue, and your full name appeared instead of a profile button, and it had a little tiny picture of your profile picture exactly like Google Plus.
Yes.
I never saw that one.
I didn't see that. I said there were some other people that were talking about how the top bar was following you down the page.
Yeah, they did make it that easy.
Yeah, that
it is doing that now.
That is a very annoying feature. I do not care for that. I always hate that.
Well, it's not working for me anymore, but it was. And I kind of like having a dynamic scrolling bar, so I don't have to scroll to the top of the page to do certain things, but...
Yeah. I just noticed that Google Plus does that, too.
Yeah.
That's
where they got it from.
I absolutely hate how Facebook implemented this stuff.
Yeah, I really do. The smart list...
Oh, my God, I hate the smart list with a passion.
Well, the problem I have with it is that the little sidebar area, whenever there's like a one or a two or a three, you know, whenever the little notification square is there, I'm incredibly OCD about it, and I need to clear them all.
Yeah.
And now suddenly the smart list pop up, and they've all got like 4 billion notifications in them.
I ignore them, dude.
I try to, but I just can't. Like, I wish that I could ignore it.
Because I don't want them there. I don't care about what people in certain networks I'm in posted.
Yeah. And it's not even networks. It's people that match the same thing that I put. Like my high school, my place of employment, they made a list for that shit. I don't give a fuck what people from my high school are doing. Yeah. I fucking care.
Exactly.
That's why I moved away from there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, see, Facebook had the problem of Google Plus came out with this actually smart idea about selective sharing and made you sort your friends as you got them. And Facebook's like, shit, we've got guys with 1,000 friends. How are we going to do this? I know. Computers.
Yeah, but no, and I really don't like the way it's implemented because it didn't let me be like, oh, I'm going to put all these people. It just threw them in there. And like,
yeah,
I've got some from like anyone who apparently is my friend that goes to the university is in this list. I do not care. If I'm friends with them and I see it, it will be in my news feed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was looking at first, I saw it and I was like, so did it just throw a bunch of people from Valley High in there? No, it's people that are on my friends list anyway. It just fucking sticks them in a list. Fuck you.
I don't need them in a list.
Which, like, if you notice, your regular news feed really narrows down the people that you have contact with the most. You know, you really only see the people you talk to on a regular basis or, you know, that you look at on a regular basis in there. And so, like, why do I need lists on the side? There's people that I'm friends with that I have no idea I'm friends with them on Facebook right now because I never see anything from them.
Yeah.
And now they're in these little side lists that I just don't care about.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, anything.
The worst thing is it actually makes Facebook worse.
Yeah. Yeah. If Facebook put something there that I didn't specifically ask for,
they implemented this stuff because
because they're scared of Google Plus.
Exactly. Which I mean, like I'll admit the ideas Google Plus has were great. Google Plus is not nearly capable of taking on Facebook right now, but they have some smart ideas. Facebook, from atop their mountain, is looking down at Google at the base of it, walking up towards them, and freak out.
Bricks.
They are, and they are just destroying what was good about their site in order to keep up with someone that is behind them.
But in their defense, the person behind them is Google.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, this isn't Diaspora, like we'll talk about in a minute, but Google, I mean, Google's a behemoth of the internet. You gotta be afraid when they're kind of coming at your door.
Look, I agree that they have a little bit more to fear from Google than they did from pretty much any other social networking site, but instead of trying to be everything that your competitor is, why wouldn't you try and set yourself apart? Do what you do and do it really well. Don't try and do what they're doing better because it's not going to fucking happen. Anything that you do after Google is just going to be a half-assed attempt at cashing in on what they've already come up with.
Honestly,
if they were going to try and make it better, I'd be for that, but they didn't make it better. They made it crappier, and that's the problem.
Honestly, Zuckerberg's a one-trick pony. And really, they don't have anything innovative that's in the pipelines. They're not doing anything that's going to set them apart. All they can do right now is, oh, this is what Google's doing. We're going to throw this in there. If that's all they've got, then they're in big trouble.
Yeah, and to be fair, they were doing that before, but before they were ripping off Foursquare and Groupon instead of Google. So it's not like the fact that Facebook isn't creative is news. It's just...
It's not that it's not news. It's that it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, one or two features, okay, well, those are cool features. We should probably have those, too. But it's now anytime something new comes along in a competing service, they're like, we have to have that now. And they implement it in a very sloppy way
that's
not refined and as polished. And that hurts them, I think.
I'm not sure if you guys remember being on other social networks that were like this. I'm not sure which ones did it. But I know I was on one time that everybody that was on it liked. But then it tried to start being like MySpace, implementing a bunch of MySpace features, and everybody hated it, and it became terrible. And that's why those other social networks started to decline. And I'm not sure if Facebook gets that they got to their place of success by being innovative and being smart, and they're not going to stay there by suddenly being stupid.
But that's like... the thing that bothers me the most about it is with the addition of all these features, it's like, you don't need to do this. You are Facebook. I have no reason to use any other service other than Facebook. Google Plus is fine for what it is, but not many people use it, and I really not gotten into it yet. You know, Twitter is good for being Twitter. You know, you just say, hey, I'm doing this, and that's it. Facebook is much more deep, and what they have already, it works very well. And there's no need to add anything else. Nobody is going to leave right now for anything because there aren't any greener pastures.
But instead they're panicking and they shouldn't be. And then they're making poor business decisions in the process. And that's really awful.
You know what would be awesome for Facebook to do right now is the same thing I kind of want Google Plus to do is get some other social features in there related to productivity. You know, like they've got events, create social calendars. They could create some collaborative document stuff or something, you know, get friends together to write things or whatever. Make something that people can do together that's not a crappy game, that's not a direct ripoff of something someone else has done. If the point is to be social, create social features. Don't just rip off the stuff everyone else is doing.
Yeah, right. They won't, though. That's the problem. They just don't innovate.
No, they really don't.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
Which, I mean...
even that video chat thing was horrible.
Yeah, that was stupid. And, I mean, Google Plus, right off the bat, had video chat integrated in the browser, and it worked really well. Like, how come Facebook couldn't do that?
Yeah. Not to mention, you know
because
what?
Because they want to be with a big name like Skype, and everyone's like, oh, I use Skype. I can use it in Facebook, too. That will be great.
Well, integrate Skype into the freaking browser. Why do I need a separate damn window?
Because that would take too much time.
Well, God damn it, Zuckerberg.
They want to have it right then, right there, and they're going to hack it together.
Yeah.
You know what would be awesome is if Facebook wants to rip off something Google Plus did, rip off their game management. Like, that's always been a huge complaint about Facebook. They could just create a games tab. I don't care if they rip it off exactly the way Google Plus did it, but... I mean, how awesome was it when Google Plus came out with these games and said, unless you click on the games tab, you will never see any notifications. Do that.
I'll be honest. I don't see any notifications about games anymore.
I've never seen anything from Google
Plus. No, I'm talking about Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I still get some occasionally, but I've started ignoring.
A lot of the apps.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
I block people who use the apps.
Yeah. All right, well, enough about Google Plus and Facebook for a moment. Let's talk about Diaspora and get this crap out of the way. If you remember a while back, there was a little startup social network that was talking about being awesome and that eventually they were going to be great at everything. And they were called Diaspora. I don't know, I kind of want to let Eric take this for a minute because I know you've had a close encounters with Diaspora.
Yeah, I got an invite. Thanks, Sammy, by the way. They were a Kickstarter back in, somewhere in May 2010 or something. And it was when there was a lot of Facebook controversy, a lot of privacy issues. And they were like, well, we want to create something where you control your data and you get to manage it however you want and you can leave whenever you want. And then they disappeared for like a year and a half. And they just started sending out alpha invites. And the service is basically a lot like Google Plus.
Which makes you wonder. I mean, if they've been working on this for a year and a half and Google Plus came out, only a few months ago? Did they just like scrap it all and just make it Google Plus in the last minute?
Well, it seems I'm not sure. Well, okay, one of the things is a while back before Google Plus came out, but I'm not sure how long before, they did come out with a preview. I think Engadget had a piece on it and whatnot. And they were describing features that sound like Google Plus features. Instead of circles, they called them aspects. But the thing is, unless you were somebody that had access to it, you had no idea what they were talking about.
So maybe Google Plus robbed them.
I can't say it's impossible. I mean, I don't think so. The issue I have with that idea, though, is saying Google Plus stole from Diaspora is saying they stole the idea of social circles, which that's just dumb.
Yeah.
The problem with Diaspora is they hyped this up like, yeah, check this out, it'll be sweet. And then they disappeared. Now the whole idea behind their whole concept and product just doesn't exist anymore.
And yeah. I mean, let's be honest. They hyped it up, and we all heard about it. But go ask, you know, random person on the street what Diaspora is, and they'll probably tell you it's a disease or something like that, because that's what it sounds like.
Just don't ask really a Jewish person, because then you'll really confuse them.
The point is, nobody actually knows about Diaspora. The tech world kind of knows about it, kind of remembers it a little bit, but really nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody of importance that is going to really launch the platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Although, to be fair,
they killed themselves.
Yeah. Although, in the scope of social networks starting up, they had a lot more exposure than most other social networks at the start. Google Plus aside, like Facebook or MySpace, when they first started out, they didn't get that kind of attention that Diaspora did.
They had tons of funding, too, and then they didn't really do much with it. I mean, anybody can create a Venn diagram.
They really just missed the boat, and I mean, it was kind of a neat idea, but they just weren't good at implementing anything, apparently.
Yeah. I think if Google Plus hadn't come out, though, a lot of the stuff they were doing would be pretty innovative and pretty awesome looking to us, but unfortunately, they took a year and a half to get it out and missed their shot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get off Diaspora and social networks for a moment. We'll jump back to Microsoft. There's an article here that says apparently Microsoft is following suit with Steve Jobs, or really Apple, and saying that in IE10 there will be no Flash.
Yay!
That's kind of a big deal.
It is very much a big deal, and if you read into the article, it does say there will be two versions of IE. There will be a regular version that has all your plugins in it, and then there's the Metro version of Internet Explorer, which I guess would go with the Metro UI, that does not have Flash, which really just brings up an interesting point to me, is that, you know, with everything taking the conversion to the tablet and the mobile market, and Adobe basically refusing to keep up with it, are people finally going to say, all right, Adobe, you had your chance, it's over?
I hope so. I really hope so, because Flash, honestly, is annoying to me. I can't stand it. Flash sites, I want to turn them off. Even on my Android device where I can get Flash, I still avoid those websites. I don't like it.
Flash sites are annoying, but a lot of the video on the internet is Flash.
Yeah. But it's a lot of the video on the internet's also available in other formats. HTML5 is, you know, if you go to a site with...
It's not just video, though. There's a lot of content on the internet.
Look, I'm fine with HTML5, but will it happen?
Well, I'm telling you, you go to a lot of sites...
Look, we've been using HTML4 since 2001.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you go to a lot of sites these days on your iPhone or an iPad or anything that doesn't support Flash, chances are, if there's a video in the article, it will be supported by your device. It's rare to run on Intel otherwise. I swear to God,
that is not my experience at all.
I think you're blowing smoke up my ass.
I'm not kidding. Most of the places that I go on my phone or on an iPad when I happen to be playing with an iPad, I never run into problems.
Going to different sites, but when I'm browsing around for like through a newsfeed or something and I run into a video, almost every time I get, like if I'm on an Android device, I'll get that little green arrow box that says I need Flash or I need to launch Flash or whatever. So
can't you get Flash on an Android?
No, I mean, yes. You can. Like it blocks it out unless you specifically request it.
And the other thing I'm worried about this Internet Explorer is not only are they doing away with Flash, but they're also doing away with extensions.
That's a bad decision.
Because extensions are what make a browser awesome.
Yeah. Especially with Chrome and Firefox.
And
together,
if I remember that correctly,
away.
They're also getting away with extensions.
Yes, they are.
Which is, if you want to do away with Flash and make the push to HTML5, go for it. I'm down. But don't get rid of my extensions.
I would like to see that happen. No. And honestly, the only argument I've ever heard to the contrary was sites that are just entirely Flash, that have just like the big mess of explosions and things moving all over the place. And I
Look,
fucking
nobody
hate
likes
those sites.
Those don't care.
I hate them. Every goddamn movie site you go to is probably a Flash site. Flash only. And they're awful. It's like some big mess of marketing that you got to find your way through to get information about whatever you're looking for to watch a damn trailer.
I'm really not sure why movie studios do that. It's the most annoying thing they do. And they do a lot of annoying things.
I mean, I understand it from the marketing standpoint because it kind of adds to the atmosphere of the movie even without being part of the movie. It gives it a little more of a entertainment-y feel rather than just a regular website. But
it does add some production value, but even then it's kind of like...
But it throws your computer to shit and then you just hate it anyway.
I would still like to see some studios develop something like that in HTML5 or something, because I've seen some really awesome sites made in HTML5, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, to get back to Microsoft and the Internet Explorer, they're saying the Metro-style Internet Explorer improves battery life, as well as security, reliability, and privacy.
I don't care about battery life.
Did you see that? They're including Silverlight, but not Flash.
Battery life. On
Great.
Desktop.
I actually think that's kind of hypocritical of them if they're going to continue to support Silverlight, but cut out Flash.
Netflix.
Okay, but you can make that same argument for Hulu. Hulu still runs on Flash, so they're not leaving in Silverlight out of necessity. They're leaving it in, and given their history, I could see them facing some antitrust scrutiny for this. Because that would be specifically killing off a much larger competitor, but still allowing support for their.
But they're not killing off anything. Internet Explorer isn't the only web browser you can use.
That's
As a matter
true.
Of fact,
Man,
just
okay,
about
they
everybody
made that same
I know
Back
only
when they
uses
got the
Internet Explorer
issue.
To download another web browser. So who gives a shit? Take the fucking right. Flash out. I don't fucking
okay,
care.
That, there was that same argument during the whole antitrust with Internet Explorer, and they still lost. They still. The European Union still said, nope, I don't care if you can use Internet Explorer to download Firefox. You're a dick. It's their
words in
the official transcripts.
Well, the European Union is kind of a dick.
A lot of sites aren't using Silverlight, though. So, I mean, they need to, as far as I'm concerned, they need to stop making Silverlight try to happen.
Is there anything besides Netflix that uses Silverlight, really?
Barely anything. But let me say this, because I'm going to take Microsoft's side on this one.
Oh, boy.
Which
Ron,
hopefully everyone in Ustream is not in an ad right now because they probably want to hear this. Microsoft has control over Silverlight. So they can say, well, you know, if they add it to Metro IE, they'll be able to control how much battery life it uses and really, you know, make it well-rounded so it works well within that ecosystem. They're saying right now to Flash, just like Apple said to Flash, we're not going to use your product because you refuse to make it work within the constraints of these modern systems. You refuse to make it streamlined and less battery hungry and less power hungry. And so therefore we're going to get rid of it. Where Silverlight, Microsoft could obviously say, we're going to make this work.
See, I have never liked that. Like, I understand the reasoning behind it, but especially after Android's implementation of off by default, unless you ask for it, I can't see blocking a feature, which is useful. You can argue about whether or not Flash is good or not, but sites still have video using Flash. They're still out there. The Daily Show, Hulu. I can't see denying your users that feature or the option of that feature solely because you don't think it performs well enough.
Well, I mean, Apple just did that. And everyone kind of loved that.
Apple's also kind of arrogant. Microsoft doesn't usually get to get away with that kind of exclusionary policy.
Apple can only do that because people are like, ooh, Apple, shiny, I must have. And they'll live with not having perfect because they're cool because they have the Apple product.
The other thing now is look at the modern computer world. Microsoft isn't much of a... I wouldn't sue them for any antitrust things right now. They're not a monopoly as much as they used to be.
Well, okay, what area, though? I mean,
I don't know. The phone market, they're definitely not. Desktops,
they don't have a huge phone market, but
desktops and laptops, you know,
they're overwhelmingly,
but they're not completely beating Apple into the ground right now. Apple is doing fine on its own, so there is choice out there. They're not a monopoly.
Okay,
the only reason that they have such a large market share is because of so many government installations all use Apple or not Apple, Microsoft systems. Even the software on the Paladin system that I work on, that's all Windows.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I agree. I agree that corporations have an effect on Windows market share, but let's be real here. The bulk of even consumer desktops and laptops
are
still Windows.
Look, you have $500. What are you going to buy? You're not going to buy an Apple product. Exactly. You're going to buy a Windows product.
I was in the market for a laptop recently. I wanted to buy an Apple laptop because I like their laptops.
But
I couldn't find anything under $1,000.
And that's why they have the bigger market share, because they offer a competing product at a much lower price.
Exactly. So, I mean, I agree that Microsoft doesn't have a stranglehold on the market because Apple is successful and has a product that's decently affordable and people like it. But, I mean, Microsoft still has, I hate to say it this way, but the burden of pleasing everybody. Apple can get away with pleasing just some people. Microsoft doesn't have that luxury. They have 90% of the entire planet of computer users to please.
But so, I still, despite the fact that they are still massive, I still don't think the government would approach them as a monopoly anymore. I think there's a lot more players on the field that have a good chance. And
just
even not so. Well, go ahead.
Just because a government wouldn't step in and say, hey, you can't cut out Flash, doesn't mean that there wouldn't be huge backlash from their consumers, from reviewers, from their partners. And especially with all the risks Microsoft's been taking lately, they killed off Windows Mobile. They're doing a dramatic shift in Windows 8 in their UI. I feel like if they mimic Apple's exclusionary policies too much, they're going to have some serious problems.
But they're not cutting out everything. They're cutting out Flash from Internet Explorer. It's really not that big of a deal simply because of Chrome.
And it's only Internet Explorer 10.
Opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many people have upgraded to Internet Explorer 9?
Exactly.
Well, I think Internet Explorer 10 is... I think 10 is only going to be... Or that version of 10 will only be available on the Metro UI. I think that's the whole point of it.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I don't either. And I don't think Microsoft will
get
much flack for it.
I wouldn't blame
them.
You're making a mountain out of a mouse turd. Let it go.
I mean, we'll put it this way. I am a devout Mac user, and if I don't blame Microsoft for doing that, then I don't know who will.
I will. I'll blame anybody for anything.
Well, I guess there's always you. All right. Let's get away from Microsoft for a minute and talk about Stevie Wonder giving Steve Jobs a nice little shout-out for making...
Is there really anything to talk about?
Well, I don't know. You know, I thought it was nice. I actually, the reason I put it on the topic list is because I went into my iPhone today after reading about it and put it into what a blind user would use. It's called voiceover mode.
Actually, I'm curious about that. How was that?
Coming from a person who could see what they're hitting and is used to just kind of flicking through everything really quick, it's an absolute pain in the ass. But I could see... It's actually pretty useful.
Did you use it while closing your eyes?
I tried it for a second just to kind of get the feel, but basically anything you tap, you just kind of like randomly poke at the screen and it'll say what you just tapped. And then in order to open that, it'll kind of highlight that icon. And then when you open it, you just kind of double tap anywhere on the screen, and it'll open up whatever you just tapped previously.
Well, the highlights aren't really necessary now, is
it? I'm sorry, Ron. I'm still cracking up. I find it a pain in the ass to be blind.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I'm perfectly capable of using the phone otherwise, so to use it that way was really just kind of
seriously
shooting myself in the foot.
Seriously, why would anybody do this?
But I just wanted to get the feel of it. It was for science, exactly.
No, I get what you're saying, but
and those features
it may
really,
have came out wrong.
For those that can't not see, are very, very good. As
can't
far
not
as a smart,
see, so people that can see.
No, for people that cannot see,
okay.
Are very, very good. And iPhone, from what I understand, from being in a local community with a deaf and blind school where they use smartphones. That iPhone is the prominent one for those features because they are really great. I guess it's really above and beyond what Android is doing currently.
It does seem very intuitive, and it seems like it would be relatively easy for anybody who was blind or not able,
visually impaired.
Visually impaired. It seems like it would be pretty easy for them to use it, which honestly I had no idea the features were even in there.
Yeah. Well, I've never used them, but if they are as good as everyone says they are, then I will definitely give Apple credit for that because, I don't know, it feels like it's easy to get lost in a smartphone, touchscreen smartphone world.
Yeah.
To forget about all those blinds.
But yeah, I think that was a nice thing of Stevie Wonder to say, and he kind of wished Steve Jobs well, as I'm sure all of us do in his current state.
This has been your Noisecast feel-good moment of the night.
Yes. All right, so let's move on.
Let's get back to feeling bad.
AT&T finally launches LTE and suggests that an iPad 3 launch might be imminent.
Wait. I missed that part of the story.
The LTE benchmarked around
the
here.
Second paragraph?
Yeah, there's...
It's a completely different color from the rest of the article. How'd you miss it?
They launched the network in Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio. Oh, that's it. San Antonio on Sunday.
Yeah, there's only five cities.
So if you live in any of those cities and you have a 4G AT&T phone, which you probably don't, enjoy your blazing fast speed. As for the rest of the world, we'll just have to wait. And then later on, they say that there was a... launched a data plan on their website called the No Commitment iPad Data Connect Plan for their LTE network. So some people think that means an iPad 3 is coming in a couple months. I don't.
Yeah, I don't see how that.
Oh, and,
I think they're trying
to
get money out of people who don't know that their iPad can't use LTE.
Those of you on AT&T that still don't have 3G, you can just ignore this completely.
I've heard the actual LTE benchmarks on that from people in Texas that have been able to use it has been absolutely horrific.
Well, they just launched it today.
Yeah.
No way.
But still, they should have their stuff together if they're going to launch something, I would assume.
We're talking about AT&T here.
This isn't Verizon. This isn't the A game. This is AT&T. We do things a little differently over here, and we just live with it.
AT&T takes the Facebook approach of just throwing the shit out there whenever it's almost ready.
And see if it sticks, and that's it.
Okay, someone help me out in this article. They're talking about the data plan. If this is solely for the LTE plan, this kind of pisses me off. AT&T LTE data plan, $30 a month for 3 gigabytes of data.
That's about where their plan is right now. Actually, it's more.
Okay. Well,
they have a 2 gig, $30 a month.
I sort of understand that. I don't like it, but I sort of understand that for a 3G data connection. But if you're going to promote a much faster network with much higher capacity and tempt users to download at 20 and 30 megabits per second, and then give them a 3 gigabyte data cap. I mean, maybe there's some engineering reason why that has to happen, but...
See, I understand that argument, but at the same time, I sit here and think, like, okay, if I had my 3G connection, and then I have a 4G or an LTE connection, what am I going to be doing on the internet that's different than what I'm currently doing?
Okay, here's the issue I have with that argument. Back in 2000, I would scoff at 1 and 2 megabit per second connections because when would I ever use that much? I just read GeoCities websites and download JPEGs. I mean, if you give users the capability, they're gonna use it.
Okay,
we're always gonna find a use for more bandwidth.
You have a tablet. What do you do on your tablet right now?
Are you talking to me or him?
I read websites and play games. But if you're gonna ask what I would do, if I knew that I could stream video at a consistently high enough speed, like my tablet only has a 3G connection right now. Screw you, Motorola and Verizon. But if it got, once it gets the LTE upgrade, and if it got decent enough speeds, I would not have a problem pulling up Netflix and streaming a video.
Well, so use
except
Wi-Fi.
Except that.
What do you fucking do? Better speed already.
Yeah.
Don't. I mean. Okay, but telling me to use Wi-Fi is defeating the point of having LTE.
What?
I mean,
LTE, you really only fucking use it if you're like on the train or fucking going somewhere.
Or if I'm just not at my house.
Fucking hook it up to your Wi-Fi network while you're at home.
Okay, you didn't hear what I said. If I'm away from my house and I want to watch something, then either I've got to hunt down for a Wi-Fi network. I'm in Atlanta. I'm not sure what it's like in New York, but in Atlanta, it's not as easy to find a Wi-Fi network just around the corner. So,
look, I'm in Arkansas. The point of LTE is supposed to be. I need one.
He's got
okay,
a point.
Even if you couldn't find a Wi-Fi network, what is the point of building an LTE network that can get 20 and 30 megabit per second downloads if there's never any reason to use it?
What's the point of having a fucking tablet?
I've got a 4G connection right now through Verizon. And honestly, I use it on my commute every single day. I use it for Netflix. I use it for YouTube. I'm using it for everything. I have a 2-hour commute. So I absolutely use it.
But I have that same... I use all those same things on my iPhone right now, and I only have a 3G connection. And I use them on 3G, and they work. So, theoretically, if I had 4G, I would do all the same stuff. It would just go a little faster.
Okay, I have a question for Tawny.
And we never want things to go faster.
How much data do you use on your tablet through your 4G connection, or your phone, or whatever? How much data do you actually pull down using it that much?
A month? Let's see. Last month I capped out at 15 gigs, and I've got an unlimited use plan. I'm grandfathered.
I'm in that too. That's another reason I won't switch to LTE is because I'm grandfathered into 3G.
Well, see, when LTE releases, I won't have to change. I'll be grandfathered into my unlimited plan.
Exactly. I'm still grandfathered in.
Wait, who do you have?
With Verizon.
No, you won't. Yeah. They said they were ungrandfathering everybody.
Nope.
No,
I'm grandfathered.
You should talk to Miss Sabrina more often.
I guess I should.
I am grandfathered in completely. I made sure of that. I triple checked it. I had no choice because I was not going to get penalized for the amount of data I use.
Well, shit, maybe AT&T will do the same thing if that ever happens.
That is a funny joke, Ron.
You guys didn't hear it, but Ron just crossed all of his fingers.
I did, and I clenched my teeth. I was like, I hope so. Well, anyway, let's talk about the Galaxy Tab, this iPad wannabe.
You mean Apple patenting black rectangles?
Yes.
Hey, work in
Germany. That's a good way of putting it.
No, actually, it's not just a good way of putting it. That is literally what they did. If you read the report, I'll let you intro the story. Go ahead.
Let me intro the story. All right. German court bans the Galaxy Tab 10.1. Looks too much like the iPad. So Apple won a more stringent ban on Samsung's Galaxy Tab 10.1 tablet in Germany on Friday.
Düsseldorf.
I can't hear that name and not laugh.
A Düsseldorf court upheld its previous ban on the device with Judge Johanna ruling that the Galaxy Tab 10.1 looked too much like the iPad and blah, 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 blah.
So I bet she owns the iPad.
What a bitch.
Yeah. If you were to try to find the article that I got it, but according to the actual transcripts, the judge's decision, they acknowledge that the rear of the Galaxy Tab is completely different from the iPad in style and design and everything. The buttons are laid out differently, but the front of the device solely looks, it looks too much like Apple's iPad. And the judge said something, was it the minimalist design that Apple uses, there's other ways to make a tablet than that.
How?
So the, don't ask me, ask the judge.
Fucking,
they were,
it's
he
a
was
big
the
rectangular piece of glass. That's why.
Exactly.
I the completely judge, agree. So,
but if you remove the rear of the device from the debate, they are literally saying that black rectangles are Apple's thing, and nobody else can do that.
Mm. I think it's stupid.
Europe is just making themselves look dumb.
Now, to be fair, that's just limited to Germany, and Germany's already dumb.
Yeah.
What's even funnier about that is that the court acknowledges it as a minimalist design on Apple's part. Now, minimalism, if we're going to go for with minimalism as doing the most with the fewest parts, what does the iPad have on its front? It's got a screen, a black frame, and one button. But the Galaxy Tab has a frame. The Galaxy Tab is actually more minimalist than the iPad, improving Apple's design philosophy, but they can't do it because Apple owns black rectangles.
Maybe Apple's like mad jealous because they got more minimalist. They're like, we see your minimalism and we up it to this minus the frame. And Apple's like, damn it, we're suing you.
I seriously can't wrap my head around this.
I can't even begin to understand. Yeah, I can't understand it either. Honestly, I agree. I'm on Samsung's side with this for purposes of capitalism, where I think there should be competition in the market. And also, who the fuck can, you know, you can't patent a triangle or a rectangle. Period.
Germany's legal system makes absolutely no
sense. And you
also
can't patent a design philosophy. You know, you can't say that Apple owns minimalism.
I'm sure somebody could sue Apple because somebody else invented minimalism. I don't know who, but I'm sure they could sue Apple.
Well, who's that guy, Dieter Rams or whatever?
Yeah, Rams.
Dieter Rams from Brown.
Yeah.
Wait, is he German?
Yes.
Oh, it all comes full circle then. I don't know. That's stupid. And here I am
really
taking Samsung's side. This is quite a night.
What is up with you, Ron?
I'm kind of drunk.
Did you have a bad fight with Apple recently?
No, all my stuff works great. Almost magical, if you will. But I also am kind of drunk.
So once you sober up, you're going to start agreeing with Apple on everything?
I'll start toting the company line. All right. I've had enough of tech news. It's time to work our way into WTF news.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy techno music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, it's WTF news.
Oh, my.
How was that? Does that sound good?
That was hot.
Sounded
good. I shit my pants.
I mean, awesome.
All right. Let's start off with a St. Petersburg police accuse woman, 22 years old, of vampire attack on a man.
Again. I am having deja vu from last week's episode.
This girl, she is named, hold on, I'm trying to skim the article here. Josephine Rebecca Smith climbed on top of Milton Ellis, who is 69 years old, while he was sleeping in his motorized wheelchair, and when he woke up, finding her straddling him, basically, she bit part of his face and neck off, claiming that she was a vampire. And for anyone... Oh, go ahead.
Overzealous Twilight fan.
Absolutely.
But aren't all the vampires
aren't
in
they,
the
isn't
dudes?
It a definition of a Twilight fan?
Yeah, I guess so. But for anyone who's confused, and I know a few of you are, this did happen in Florida, so it's not that weird.
It's pretty normal for Florida, really.
This is, like, day-to-day. Let's see what it says here.
He managed to escape and called for help at a nearby gas station where he had just met Smith. Maybe this was a sexual encounter turned wrong.
Face bloodied, he directed the police to Hooters at... That's an address? 10,400 Roosevelt Boulevard North.
Yeah, that's an address.
I've never seen a 10,000 number on a building.
Well, you have no interest in the world.
Did you guys see the mugshot of her?
Pretty creepy.
She's doing her little vampire face. For anyone who's interested.
So it sounds like an old rich dude picked up a Hooters waitress.
Who thought she was a vampire. For anyone in the chat that is interested. Oh, can we post links or are we not allowed?
Yeah, we can post links.
All right, somebody post that in there for him. All right, there you go.
Yeah, she is quite creepy. And I really want to believe that this was just a sexual encounter turned wrong.
Because
why else would this 22-year-old be hanging out with a 69-year-old man?
Absolutely.
There's money involved somewhere.
Maybe he wanted to be like, maybe he's like the Twilight fan and he paid.
Police found Smith half naked, but uninjured and covered in blood at the Hooters.
Wait, Smith's a guy, right?
No, Smith's the lady.
Oh.
Milton Ellis was the dude.
Right. Okay. Half naked. Well, she sounds awesome. Moving on. Staying in Florida. Naked Miami woman caught on Google Street View was a squatter at her home, apparently.
Okay, then.
If somebody would be so kind to post that for our youth streamers. Apparently, this woman was just caught on camera on Google Street View, standing out in front of her house, completely naked.
Yeah, in the buff there.
There's two photos here.
With a big bucket of water, apparently.
Yeah, she's just 1,000% naked.
What? She was really thirsty.
She is 10 times as naked as a normal person.
Yeah, because a normal person, you might want to actually see them naked. Even blurred out, she looks offensive to my eyes.
Yeah, really.
It's not
I like the caption on the screenshot here. Who is the woman who has titillated the world? She is not titillating anyone.
I think they just wanted a reason to say tit.
I mean, it is. Apparently, she didn't live there. She was just hanging out.
Yeah.
See, washing herself. Okay, if you're gonna squat at a house, which I mean, I understand that happens.
At least wear some clothes.
Need a place to live. Places nobody's living. Yeah, but why would you draw attention to yourself? Isn't part of squatting like aren't squatters rules like if you can stay somewhere for so many years without getting kicked out, then you can have it? Isn't that how squatters' rights work?
Yeah, you can register your claim to the property as long as the bank hasn't put any further claims into it with the county registers.
Even if you were to go out front, because if you walk outside of your house and you stand there, anybody driving by won't be able to assume that you're a squatter.
Unless you're naked.
But why would you go out front completely naked?
There has to be a towel or a robe, or you had to have had some pants at some point.
Unless they just subscribe to nudist beliefs.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe so. She's a nudist squatter.
Even like still, if you're squatting, just put some clothes on so you look kind of normal.
The last thing I want to be when I'm in a strange house that's not my own is completely naked. just as a general rule. Yeah. You don't know what might be in
there.
See,
I generally try to avoid being naked even inside my own home, because I just never know who's going to walk in.
Well, you might want to lock your door.
I actually have a neighbor who just sometimes just pokes his head in our living room. So, hey, what's up, guys?
That's
like my own little Kramer. Way to make the Seinfeld theme sound porny.
You just aren't watching the right porns.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Let's move on from naked women.
Okay.
Aww.
Let's move into a story that is a little cringeworthy.
Oh good.
Just a little.
An eel an eel, a little eel,
has
been removed from a man's bladder after entering through his penis while he was at a day spa.
Okay, that's the weirdest part.
How would you not notice that?
Well, all right, let's set the scene here. I don't know how to pronounce his name because he's Chinese, so I will call him Mr. Chinaman.
You can't say Chinaman.
Mr. Chinaman.
You have to say chink. That's the point.
Oh, man, he had to go there.
Asian gentleman.
Just say his name is Ang Nan.
A man of Asian persuasion was bathing with live eels to cleanse his skin when a rogue serpent took a liking to his manhood.
A rogue serpent.
First of all, why the hell would you ever bathe with live eels?
Because he's Asian.
And secondly, why wouldn't you pull it out before it got all the way in?
Well, I can kind of understand. Look, if he's got a lot of them in there and they're all wriggling around and doing their thing, I can understand maybe not noticing if one is taking liberties.
Yes, you do.
That is a one-way hole.
Oh, sorry. Unless you typically have things going up your urethra, you should notice when it starts happening.
And how do you know that he doesn't?
That sounds like that would be just painful.
That's not making the story better.
It's an old man, 56 years old. That thing probably hasn't been used in decades.
Thinking that the eels would make him look 10 years younger, Nan dived into the water and let them feast upon layers of dead skin.
Ew.
Like layers of dead skin.
I mean,
penis.
All right, but let me be the first one to put this out there. Assuming that what we've heard about Asian people is correct, how would the eel
short trip
fit? Is fit the right word?
I gotta say, I am really proud of us as a group that it took us more than 2 minutes to get to that joke.
Especially since considering the guy was in water, which is notoriously bad for penises everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
Water, the anti-penis.
I mean, that's just an odd story.
Yeah, just a pro tip here. Don't bathe with eels.
Gonzo, the expert on not bathing with eels.
As a disclaimer for the Asian Americans that may or may not find offense to this, these gentlemen are drunk, so please do not go after us for any reason. Thank you.
I am offended.
Let me get something straight here.
Call me a gentleman.
I am saying things right now that I would say completely sober.
Yeah.
I'm not that drunk.
I would too. Come on.
You're not supposed to indemnify us.
I am just trying to prevent illegal action. Sorry.
Legal action.
Nobody can
listen,
sue us
listen to
for
Tawny.
Thinking.
She's our resident law-ish expert.
Look, let's be honest here. We have insulted every race, country, ethnicity, fucking religious group. All right?
It's all good fun.
I insult Italians all the time. Ron,
you yourself are an insult to Italians.
Hey. Well, yeah. I'm a terrible Italian. I don't even speak Italian.
I was just trying to
I speak Italian like Peter.
No, it's okay.
Bop-a-boopy?
Great. Somebody brought up Peter, so now Kevlar is going to jump in with his stupid soundboard.
Oh, you called his soundboard stupid. That hurts his feelings.
Maybe because I called him out on it, he won't do it.
I don't think I can hear him.
Dude, he's been doing shots. He's probably fucking three sheets to the wind right now. All
right, well, let's move on here from the
Asian
jokes.
It doesn't feel
right.
It's too long, so can somebody please do the retarded line?
Well, excuse me for being retarded.
Hey, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the next story.
Well, I skipped the next story, and I'm going to a different story.
Oh.
I work lists in weird ways. Woman dies after injecting face with hot beef fat.
Is that another slang for blowjob?
No, it's an injectional procedure.
In Illinois,
Wait, hold on, way to take all the fun out of that joke.
Let me get through the paragraph here.
Let Ron do his thing.
I have a hard enough time reading. I don't.
Ron has a thing, and
Ron has a hard on time reading.
Hard enough.
Oh.
An Illinois woman who injected hot beef fat into her face died Thursday of a bacterial infection soon after she was administered in the homemade cosmetic surgery. Ugh.
So did she like just fry
So she did this at home.
Well, look, look. Yes. If you keep reading, it says she had infections and scarring, but the autopsy declared her death was a result of peritonitis. It had nothing to do with the beef fat in her face.
No,
these are two unrelated things.
No, what's the peritonitis? Peritonitis came from the beef fat.
She got an inflammation in her inner in her abdomen's inner wall by injecting beef fat into her face.
Yes, because of the bacteria in the beef
that
fat.
That happened to me once.
Yes, there's bacteria in the beef fat.
So why is it in her abdomen?
Because it travels.
Nothing moves through it too.
She cooked up
bacteria
the beef,
travels.
Drained the fat, and then ate it.
Yeah, bacteria will travel. It can get into your bloodstream and everything, especially if she hit if she nicked something while she was injecting it.
Ugh.
Yeah, I just know we've got a woman who's injecting beef fat into her face, and I have no idea why.
Because women inject things into their face, like Botox, botulism, all sorts of things, and they pay thousands of dollars to do it, and they're silly for doing it.
Okay, Hold on. This was not. It doesn't sound like this was a surgery. This was a woman
in her house
just had a jar of beef fat and a syringe, and she goes, "You know what would be awesome? If this was in my face."
Look in the chat. Look in the chat right now. That is also from abcnews.com. And in that article, it says, oddly, the injections had nothing to do with her death. So like I said before...
You can shut the fuck up.
That was a
fucking putting weird shit in her face.
Hold on. I want to point out Jersey Devil's nice line. If she wanted a hot beef injection, she did it wrong. Well done, sir.
That's true. But yeah, women will inject all sorts of stuff that they shouldn't be injecting to get rid of wrinkles and lines, and they pay tens of thousands of dollars to do it.
But they didn't pay anything.
Oh, Jesus.
She didn't want to pay anything, so she figured hot beef would be an option.
What were you saying there, Vito?
The moment has passed.
I guess I'm the only one that caught that one.
Yeah, I was shouting. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's move on. Two accused of grim real-life Weekend at Bernie's. Two men accused of driving around Denver with a dead friend, running up a bar tab on his account using his ATM card at a strip club in what appeared to be a disturbing reflection of the movie Weekend at Bernie's. Robert Young, 43, and Mark Rubinson have been charged with abuse of a corpse, identity theft, and criminal impersonation. Abuse of a corpse. I didn't know that was a crime.
Yeah, dude.
That seems like one of those things that you shouldn't feel like you have to spell out.
I shouldn't have to know that that's a crime, right?
And they used the ATM card at a strip club. So they took the corpse to a strip club.
Oh, God.
I mean, I've heard of people using body analogs to use the carpool lane. I think there was a story a while back where a lady had like her dead husband or something in the passenger seat. But these guys took it to the next level and were like, he's dead. Let's live it up.
Oh, you know, these were the guys who watched the movie and were like, that's brilliant.
Let's kill Tom and go out on the town.
I like how they killed him. He just didn't die.
No one knows how he died.
It's unclear how Jeffrey Jarrett, 43, died, but the men are not charged with his death. The coroner said toxicology tests were pending. Young and Rubinson are free on bond and couldn't be reached for a comment. Look at their mugshots.
The duo returned to Jarrett's home, put his lifeless body into their SUV, and had headed to a night spot where they spent more than an hour drinking, leaving his body, and that's got to start smelling.
Really?
Do you think at any point during any of these events they kind of were just like, hey man, it worked in Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, come on.
Come on.
I like how they become Sylvester Stallone when they're doing this. I mean, come on.
Oh
my goodness.
The police say the two men used Jarrett's card to pay for the drinks on August 27th, noting they did not have his consent.
You think?
No, he's dead. He's in the car.
Hey, they can just claim, hey man, he told us it was cool before he died.
It's in his last will.
They, Classy guys.
Anyway, let's move on to a story that's probably fake and 90% gross. Let me read the pig born with a human head.
I'm calling fake on this one.
Peasants in a remote South American village have blamed a visit from an alien for the freakish creation of a piglet born with a human-shaped head. The bizarre creature was one of a litter of 11 born after locals in Santa Cruz El Chol, Guatemala, reported seeing a strange bright lights hovering in the sky. Farmer something or other Escobar said, "I was shocked. It was really a really terrifying experience. It looked like some kind of alien creature." I think this is one we should share with everybody.
Yeah, seriously.
Although that picture, though,
everybody see it.
I could tell by the pixels. This has been chopped.
Can you see the pixels?
I can see all of the pixels, and some of them have been chopped.
Just some of them.
I part of me just thinks that maybe this is just a strange birth defect for this pig.
Well, yeah.
And people are like, "Oh, we saw lights in the sky. It better be aliens."
This looks like a News of the World story.
It does, but it is a very, very strange birth defect.
Yeah, it is. You know what it is? That pig looks like the doctor in the wheelchair from Nightmare Before Christmas.
It does. Oh, fuck. That makes
cannot
it
unsee.
Creepier.
That is. It's a good. Good observation right there.
I do what I can.
All right. I guess there's really not much to talk about with that thing.
Nope, just a pig with a human face. Go look at it.
It's very gross. Yeah. All right, I'm trying to open up new articles here, but my internet has decided to be shit, so let's see what we can get on this computer. Which is weird, I'm not breaking up. All right, somebody kick off the next article because my internet totally blows.
Two alligators seized when police raid South New Jersey home.
Well, tell me more.
Jersey.
Beto, why do you have alligators in your house?
He's very much north.
In North Jersey. I'm as north as you can get and still be in New Jersey. Atlantic City police made an unexpected discovery when they raided the home of a suspected drug dealer. Two small alligators were found in the Pennsylvania Avenue residence on Friday, along with a pound of marijuana and more than $2,600 in cash. The alligators, each about 1.5 feet long, were turned over to state wildlife officials who will try to return them to their natural habitat. Why in the backflipping fuck would you have alligators in New Jersey?
Because they're cool, man.
They are cool.
To protect the drugs.
Dude, they're fucking tropical animals. Why? It was 54 today?
Why? Yes, it was quite cold today.
It's September, and it's already, there's a 5 at the beginning of my temperature. Why do you have alligators here? Well, part of that seemed like a good idea.
All right, Peter, relax.
I'm sorry, I hate New Jersey.
Did drug dealers actually ever make the most appropriate choices?
Not really.
Yes,
but
they're well-rounded and stable citizens.
And, you know, there it was marijuana, so...
And tax-exempt.
And tax-exempt.
Well, I mean... I don't know.
Hey, let them have their fun.
Well, let's move on. Most pierced man has 278 that we can't show you.
278 what?
Piercings.
Hairs. Oh, okay.
The Guinness World Record holder for most pierced man, Rolf Buchholz, has 453 studs and rings all over his body. Buchholz, from Germany, that explains it, he's crazy, has among others, 94 piercings in and around his lips, 25 in his eyebrows, and 8 in his nose. He also has 278 in his genital area.
A guy who pierces his genitals 278 times is a man who says, I care more about getting into the Guinness World Record book than ever having sex again.
I don't know.
Which is basically all of them, but
you could you can even forego sex for masturbation for a time, but how the fuck are you going to jerk off with that many bolts in your dick?
Yeah. Well put, well put. You have a way with words, Vito.
I try.
Yeah.
Also, why are there are so many more in his genitals than in his face?
Yeah.
His face is really crowded.
It's an outrageous like difference between his face and his genitals. His face has what? 94 around his lips, 24 on his eyebrows, and 8 in his nose. And then he's got 278 on his penis.
Well, you have penis and then ball sack.
Do you think he, like, pierced his asshole shut?
He eats a lot of fiber.
Thank goodness.
Whole lot of fiber.
Actually, you know, if that is true. If they include, like, the ass area in the genital area frame,
how does he
there,
sit down?
That does give you a lot of space.
If he's piercing his ass, does he just stand everywhere?
I guess.
I wouldn't want to sit on a piercing.
I mean, I guess he could eventually take them out if he wanted to. He just have a
he'd have to have
lot
some
more orifices.
That is days worth of work to remove 278 piercings from your ass just to sit down.
Look at his face.
Okay, but you can sleep in that.
But I mean, looking at his face, you can't imagine the ass is any better.
How does he eat anything?
I don't imagine anything about
does
the ass
a
any better
than what mustache?
I
see. Yes,
like, just pierced
his entire
mustache
is pierced.
Yes,
and here's the
like
funny
he'd make
thing.
A great. Campaign spokesperson for a Got Stainless Steel advertising campaign.
He's look, all of those piercings around his mouth, and he's only got 3 in his chin.
How does he even eat?
You would think that the area of your face that has no effect whatsoever on your consumption of food would be the first thing you would pierce. You know?
But not this guy. This guy.
It is.
I wonder what kind of maintenance he has to do to keep himself from growing eyebrows.
Shave?
Yeah, but does he have to take all those out just to shave his eyebrows?
No, he probably just takes a blowtorch to his face.
Yeah. Laser.
It's not going
to
go anywhere.
I really can't tell if he's smiling or his piercings just make a smile.
I'm pretty sure the piercings are just pulling down on his lip.
I wonder if he actually has any in his tongue as well, because that's really going to make things difficult.
I can picture him, like, trying to talk, and he's just like, I'm in so much pain.
Do you think he's allowed to fly on a plane?
Wait a minute, you know what? I bet that's the guy that does the voiceover for Epic Rap Battles of History. That's why it always sounds like, Epic Rap Battles of History, because he can't fucking open his mouth. It's all full of metal.
I'm surprised in this day someone hasn't just, like, ran past him with a huge magnet.
Just get some of those hard drive magnets and throw them at his face to see where they stick, and then laugh at him as he tries to pull them off. Bitch.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry.
It's better than throwing them at his genitals.
No, I'm not.
All right, I can't look at this guy anymore.
I can't.
Moving on
looking.
To our last WTF story for the night. Escaped pet birds are teaching wild birds to speak English. Across parts of Australia, reports have been pouring in of strange voices chattering high in the treetops. Mysterious, nonsensical conversations in English. But while these phenomena are certainly quite odd, its explanation isn't paranormal. It turns out that the escaped pet birds, namely parrots and cockatoos, cockatoos, have been teaching their wild bird counterparts a bit of the language they've picked up in their time in captivity. And according to witnesses, that includes more than a few expletives.
Fuck yeah.
So according to this, the birds are speaking mysterious, nonsensical conversations or a naturally occurring clever bot.
Basically.
I like it. My question, though, cool. is do the birds speak with an Australian accent?
Yeah, I mean, they must, right? If they're in Australia.
I don't know. Do birds get accents?
Well, they get whatever the person around them gets, right? So they would kind of, it might not be as defined, but I think it would sound similar, right?
I don't know. I'm not a bird expert.
Their enunciation would be a little different.
I don't speak bird.
You're saying
bird.
Well, they don't have lips.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I know lip movement comes a lot into how you pronounce things and plays into accents.
But if you listen to, like, any parrot I've ever heard has kind of sounded like an American accent, or cockatoo as well,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, and that's my problem. I only have experience with American birds.
But so I would reasonably assume that if they weren't in America, if they were in Britain or England or something like that, they would have a different accent. Or just a different inflection, I guess.
Okay.
I think this is my favorite sentence of the story. According to the report, "Hello, cocky" is one of the most commonly heard phrases feral birds are teaching in the wild.
Hello, cocky.
Well, I guess they would definitely use words that we don't use. Like slurs
like
that are
cocky.
Common in... Yeah, cocky. Who the hell says cocky?
Australians.
Well, if it's a cockatoo, you might name it cocky.
How many birds escape in Australia? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I can see, like, maybe one bird, like, getting away. Or someone doesn't want anymore, and they just let it, like, fly away, cocky! But then, is there, like, a bird social network, like, a Twitter for birds?
It's called Beakbook.
Beakbook? And they all, like, meet up and, like, yeah, I learned this cool word. Share it with your friends.
That's basically what happens. Of course, then it starts compounding, you know, in a pay it forward kind of thing. One bird learns it from the bad influence bird in the leather jacket and smoking a cigarette. And
that's
then
me.
He passes it on to his friend. And it's
the James Dean bird.
You're the cocky in a leather jacket.
I am a cocky in a leather jacket, absolutely.
You're a cock in a leather jacket.
I'll take that too.
You're a cock in a members only jacket.
They still make those?
Yeah.
Ron wears it because it's vintage and ironic.
They are very vintage and ironic.
Oh, very hipster. That's hot.
I don't wear a goddamn members only jacket.
Tawny, please don't ever use the word hipster and hot in the same sentence again.
I'm not a hipster. I don't have a members only jacket. That's
and he's definitely not hot.
I don't know. I've seen pictures.
And I am most certainly disgusting.
In New York City.
I don't know. Ron's pretty cute, and he's got some hot friends.
I'm
so
go.
Glad we have that recorded, Vito.
Well, this has been the Noisecast. Well, actually, in all seriousness, really we're about quiet. To wrap this up.
We've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, well, no. Considering we started 3.5 hours behind schedule,
okay.
We're about on time.
Actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, we're doing good. But it is now time to wrap it up. So be sure to check us out on thenoisecast.com, twitter.com/noisecast, facebook.com/noisecast, and anywhere else. Around the table tonight, we had Gonzo Rider.
Yep.
We had OC Entertainment.
Goodbye, Cocky.
We had Tawny.
Needs more bacon.
And we had Theo.
Please don't rape me, Satan.
I'm going to. I've been your host, Ron, or Rontourage, if you want to call me that.
I don't want to call you that.
I'll turn off my shitty voice.
I want to call you a cab, so get the fuck away from me.
No, I'm not sick anymore. I'm not leaving. All right. Thank you to everybody who joined us in the Ustream and for participating with us during the show. Thank you to everybody who listens later through your various streams. I think I covered everything, right?
Yeah, don't cross the streams.
Yeah, sure.
All right, this was the Noisecast.
Woo.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Nice. We'll be right back.